Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16, I want to actually read from two different places. The first, 1 Samuel 16, and the second, 2 Samuel 7. And let's begin reading here in 1 Samuel 16 at verse 1. It says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And then over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, I want to read verses 8 and 9. It says, Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, Why Did God Use David? But first let's pray. Lord, I ask thy blessing upon the message tonight as we look at part of what you did in the life of David. Might we be intrigued by it? Might we be curious as to why you chose to use David? And Lord, as we seek to find the answer to this question, may we also strive to have whatever it is in our own lives that you might use us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we study the lives of certain people in the Bible, there's normally two things that attract us to them. One, they epitomize what we should be. Men like Job, who was patient and endured through his trials. Men like Abraham, who believed God or exercised faith. Or men like Daniel, who were courageous and stood for the Lord against popular opinion. And secondly, sometimes it's because they epitomize who God is, his nature, or his character, like Joseph. Both Joseph in the Old Testament there in Egypt, or Joseph the husband of Mary. And in many ways, he epitomizes the characteristics of God. David is probably one of the most familiar individuals in the Bible. He was, I believe I can say this with confidence, the greatest king that Israel ever had. It is true that Israel was a little more prosperous and at peace under the reign of Solomon, but all of that was due to the victories that David achieved during his 40-year reign. David was perhaps the greatest warrior that Israel ever had. Of course, his conquests began with defeating the giant Goliath, and he would go on, as the song says, and I'm not talking about a song that we sing, but one that the people of Israel sang, that Saul slew his thousands, and David slew his 10,000s. And you'll find that that's one of the reasons that the people loved David. It says because he went out and came in, meaning he went off to victory, and he always came back the victor. But not only was he perhaps the greatest king Israel had and the greatest warrior they ever had, but he was also the greatest psalmist that Israel has ever had. A great harp player, as well as the author of many of the psalms in Scripture. But it was not any of these things, not his leadership skills, not his physical might, nor his musical talent, that caused David to find favor in the eyes of God. What then was it that caused God to use David? What did he see in this young man that he would choose him to be the king of Israel? Well, first let's look at why God did not choose David. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 is where Saul is anointed Israel's first king. And it says of Saul in verse 2 of the chapter, "And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people." When you looked at the stature of Saul, he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. Makes you wonder whether or not Procter & Gamble was a biblically based company at one time, because they named their shampoo Head and Shoulders. Maybe that's where they got it. But when you looked on Saul, you saw a man who was tall, of great stature. And for that reason, the people were excited to call him their king. Not because of his character, not because of his conduct, but because of his stature. But most of us recognize that King Saul's reign would end in failure and defeat. So maybe the people, in their admiration of Saul, looked at the wrong things. Even here in our text in 1 Samuel chapter 16, as Samuel comes and the sons of Jesse are brought before him, in verse number 6 it says, "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Now, it doesn't reference any physical characteristics of Eliab, and I'm assuming that Samuel felt that way because he was the oldest. But God didn't choose Eliab, and God didn't choose David because he was the oldest or because he had the most experience. Later on in Israel's history, the people of Israel were attracted to Absalom, David's son. It says in 2 Samuel 14:25, "And in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his feet even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him." No physical blemish. Didn't have calluses on his toes or heels. No moles or warts. Freckles? I don't know about freckles. We were talking about that earlier today. I don't think that's a blemish. But he probably didn't have any freckles. Smooth-toned, long-haired, good-looking, if those two things can go together. They did in Israel. On a man, that is. And he won the hearts of the people. Because of his flattering words and his outward appearance. Boy, one of the first true politicians, huh? And our leaders, and of course both political parties, seek to have someone out front who's attractive, who's good looking, who's a smooth talker. Maybe what they ought to focus on is someone's conduct, someone's character, and someone's behavior. Last week, was it, or the week before, Benny Haster, who was the former Speaker of the House, a Republican, was charged with crimes, hiding withdrawals from his bank account because he was taking those withdrawals and paying someone to be quiet about his past indiscretions. Seems to me a lot of our politicians have those types of indiscretions. And it's not just in one party, it's in both. It's in all parties. Something's wrong with the way that we choose our politicians, to be sure. David, he was attractive. Verse number 12 says, "And he sent and brought him in." Now he was ruddy. That is, he was reddish. Maybe it's a reference to his hair, his complexion. Maybe he had red hair and freckles. Probably. "And withal, and of a beautiful countenance." I mean, you could be beautiful and redheaded and freckled. Right? "And goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he." But I don't believe God chose him because of his outward appearance. No, in verse number 7, what did God say to Samuel? "The Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature." So maybe this is an indication that Eliab was also of a large stature like Saul. He says, "Because I have refused him. And the Lord seeth not as man seeth." God doesn't look at the types of things that we tend to look at. God doesn't promote a man for the same reasons that we often promote a man. For man looketh on the outward appearance. That's all we can see most of the time, is just the outward appearance. But the Lord, he looketh on the heart. Hollywood and the world focus on outward appearance, and that's probably no surprise to anyone. The movie industry, the music industry, they're looking for people who have fair complexions, thin bodies, tan skin, no wrinkles. You pay attention to the advertisements on different websites. They talk to you about how you can lose weight, lose your belly fat, look 10 years younger. I mean, after all, that's so important. That's what man focuses on. That's what man looks for. But that's not why God chose David. David was beautiful, but there was, and there, by the way, there's nothing wrong with being beautiful. But that doesn't mean that God can or will use us. Proverbs 31:30 says, beauty is vain. Beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. 1 Peter 3:3 says, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I was talking to a lady after the nursing home service. She was there. I asked her if she was saved. She gave a little testimony. She said, I'm a Pentecostal. Can't you tell by looking at me? And I couldn't really, but of course our girls look like Pentecostals too, don't they? But she said, I don't wear lipstick. She said a couple other things, but I can't remember what they were. I said, you don't need that stuff anyway, do you? The sun just kind of tends to take care of your complexion if you let it. And she said, and yeah, but beauty's only skin deep, too. It's not important. But boy, we're told in our culture that it's important. Hey, and by the way, it will get you ahead in the world. If you're beautiful and you're attractive and you show it off, it will get you ahead. I was watching a panel of people on a news station. I was kind of watching a video on the internet, but it was a Fox News clip, and it was of different individuals. They were talking about something having to do with modesty, but here all the women were in immodest clothing, talking about whether or not the tennis players were too immodest. Here they all, every one of them had a mini skirt on. Probably not your best panel of people to ask that question to. One man and four women in mini skirts. But they were, every one of them, attractive. That's probably why they had their position. Because that would get you promoted in the world. David was promoted by God, and it was not because of what he looked like. Nor was it because of his physical stature. You know, having a certain physical stature is beneficial in certain areas of life. I mean, if you're going to play football, you need to be big. And you need to be muscular. Because you need to be able to withstand, you know, the hits of 350-pound offensive linemen. I could never have played football, especially professional football. One hit by one of those guys and I would be out. In basketball, it pays to be tall. I know Spud Webb, back in the day, he could slam dunk a basketball and he was only 5'5", but he's probably the only man that size to ever slam dunk a basketball, or to play professional basketball for that matter. But those things are not taken into account in the Lord's army. Perhaps David's size is best revealed when he later tries on the armor of Saul before going to battle with Goliath, and he puts it on there and he looks ridiculous. He can't see because the eye holes come down to his mouth. And all he can see was his fingertips sticking out the ends of the armor. Why was that? Because he was short. One time my pastor, this was when we were back in Grafton, early on in Grafton, and he was preaching on the life of David. And he said, which this was so uncharacteristic of him. But he said, you know, when I think about David, I think about Brother Brad there. Like, oh, you mean tough and rough and ready to do battle? No, he's talking about size, I guess. David wasn't like Saul. He wasn't head and shoulders above everybody else. Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11 says, what does God take pleasure in? Not a man's legs, but in those that fear him. In other words, not in how tall he is. Jesus said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? You know, there's nothing you can do to make yourself taller. There's very little you can do to make yourself more attractive on the outside. Well, I guess anymore there's a whole lot you can do. But regardless of what you do, age will take its toll on us all. And perhaps that's why God minimizes the importance of stature and beauty. Because they're not things that you control. And they're only temporary. You can't control how tall or short you are. You cannot control your complexion or how beautiful you are by the world's standards. But you know, there are some things that you can control. There are things that you can do something about. What you can do something about is your character, is your conduct, how you behave yourself. So if God did not choose David based on his beauty nor his physical stature, why did God choose David? Why did God choose to use David? Well, the last phrase of verse 7 says, the Lord looketh on the heart. And when the Bible uses that expression, it's not talking about that organ in the body that pumps the blood to all the other areas of the body. It's talking about David's mind, will, and affection. Talking about his character. It's talking about his conduct. In 1 Samuel 13:14 it says, but now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. When God chose David, he chose him because of his heart. In Acts 13:22, this was Paul and Barnabas during their missionary journey, and they're rehearsing the history of Israel. And it says, he raised, that is, God raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. Why did God choose David? Because of his heart. Because he had a heart for God. He was humble. He was contrite. He was concerned about his character and his conduct. And that's why God took him from the prairie to the palace. And that's what our second text highlighted. How that God took David from the sheep cote, from overseeing those few sheep, to being the leader of the greatest nation in his day. There's been a lot of books written about people who have been successful, who have went from rags to riches, and how they were able to do so. Well, David went from being a lowly shepherd boy to being the king of Israel. And it would do us well to pay attention as to why God promoted him so. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These things, they come from the heart," the Bible says. In other words, that's their origin. They come from the heart. God is not interested in how we look, whether we have designer jeans, golden brown skin, acne, warts, moles. He doesn't care whether or not we're tall, dark, and handsome. Instead, He cares about how we act. He cares about our obedience. Why did He reject Saul from being king? Because of his disobedience. And in David, He found someone who was faithful. And he was faithful, by the way, in the little things. He had been given a task by his father, Jesse, to watch the sheep. And by the way, think about that. Everybody else, David's father, all of his brothers, probably his mother's aunts and uncles, and everybody else was at the sacrifice. They were at the feast with the great judge Samuel. And no doubt when he heard that Samuel was coming to town and there was going to be a sacrifice and that his family was invited, he was excited himself to get to go. But he didn't get to go. Since he was the youngest, Dad said, "David, you stay back and you watch the sheep while the rest of us go." Boy, how deflated must he have been. The Bible doesn't tell us about the discourse that transpired between Jesse and David. But David went and he watched the sheep. He seemed to be faithful to his father's commands. And you know what? A few hours later, someone would come and say, "Hey, David, I've been sent to relieve you. You're wanted at the feast." He would be chosen king. But God knew that David was faithful at that little task that his father had given him. And we know because of other accounts that there were times when those sheep were in danger, when a bear and a lion would come and try to take one of those lambs. And since David took his responsibility serious, he went after the bear, he went after the lion, and he slew them both. The Lord knew what kind of man David was. He knew he was a man after his own heart. How about us? Could we say that we are men and women after God's own heart? Are we faithful? Would God ever seek to use us in His service, in His army? Would He? You know, even when someone signs up for the military, they go through a series of tests before they let them in. They want to make sure that they're physically fit. They want to make sure they don't have any felonies. Because if you have a felony, I didn't know if you knew it or not, they won't let you in the military. Because you're not the kind of person they're looking for. If you're not physically fit, you might not be able to perform the duties of the job. And it's no different when God calls someone into His service. He wants to know, do you have what it takes to perform the duties of the job? Are you faithful? That's usually what's required. Will you be faithful? Because He'll produce many of the other things in you. He'll do what needs to be done through you if you will just be faithful. Are we men and women after God's own heart? Are we interested in the things God is interested in? I'm reminded of what Paul said to one of the churches. Maybe that was in the book that we just studied, 2 Timothy. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your sake. Paul seemed to be saying, I can't find anybody who will care for you the way that I would. And it seems to me that God would want someone to care for His people and to serve people the way He would. Well, would we be an appropriate candidate? I trust we would. So God, why did God choose David? Not because of his stature, not because of his outward appearance, but because of his heart. And if we want God to use us, you know what? We're going to have to prepare our hearts and ensure that they're right with God. And that is something we can do. We can pray, we can read our Bibles, we can humble ourselves and say, God, humble me. Give me a heart for the things of God. And then who knows? Maybe God will take us and use us in a great way like He used David. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the things that we can learn from many of the Old Testament individuals. Lord, perhaps chief of which is David. You chose to use him and You used him in a great way. And the Bible tells us it wasn't because of his outward appearance nor because of his stature. Instead, it was because in him You found a man after Your own heart. Lord, help us to think about that this week. To think about what the Word of God means when it says that David was a man after Your own heart. And Lord, might we seek to have such a heart, a humble heart, a faithful heart, a heart for the things that You love and desire. And Lord, as we strive to be people with hearts after Yours, may You choose to use us in a great way as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to hymn number 413, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Thank you.